Tomorrow marks 100 years since guns on the Western Front fell silent and more than 4 years of warfare came to an end. But as time has passed, the armistice on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918 has come to symbolise so much more than the end of a conflict. It's a day of remembrance for the millions who died, and a century on, it's just as important as ever. To learn more about the origins of Remembrance Day, I spoke to Dr. Malia Hampton, a World War I historian from the Australian War Memorial, and I began by asking her to explain exactly what happened on that day.
There's word that the Germans want to sign an agreement, and I'm not sure anyone can quite believe it, but all of a sudden this little party of Germans are making their way through the lines in a motor car, you know, making make-way noises, and they suddenly appear, and it's real, and they get to be taken away and sign this armistice, and it's this mind-blowing sort of stunned sense that this is actually really going to go ahead.
So broadly speaking, what was happening at the time on the Western Front that led to this peace settlement?
Well, the British had launched their major attack on the 8th of August 1918 at the Battle of Amiens, and it had been a remarkable success that had pushed the Germans back for miles. And suddenly they had the impetus and they were pushing the Germans back and back and back. In late September, they break the Hindenburg Line, which is this really enormous German defensive position. It's 10 miles deep. It's got canals in it. It's really hard to break. Once they're through that, there's no military options for the Germans but to continue to be pushed back. And that's a really important aspect in them coming to the table.
So as part of the peace settlement, what did the German forces have to agree to?
Well, this is an armistice, so they're agreeing to stop firing at 11 a.m. on the 11th of November 1918, and then they're only going to agree to do it for a short period of time, and then it will be renegotiated, and it's renegotiated regularly until the Treaty of Versailles is signed later the following year. But it's always a temporary truce, sort of like a front-wide, war-wide truce, that they will stop fighting until they can negotiate a proper peace settlement.
So, I mean, because I used to think the armistice ended World War I. It was as simple as that. But when it was originally signed, what was the time limit originally?
I think it was a week. But, you know, it felt like the end of war. I don't think anyone had the stomach to restart the war. Nobody really wanted to restart hostilities. So, you know, it's renewed every week or every month. And as time goes on, it becomes permanent. But they need to buy time to really nut out what the peace will be. So it felt, people are acting like they feel like it's permanent. I can't say what it felt like because I wasn't there, but that's how they're behaving.
So did Remembrance Day, or Armistice Day as it was originally known, did it become a day of commemoration quickly, or is it something that developed over the post-war years?
Very quickly. It was straight away. It's one of these things that people call an instant tradition, like our minute silence. It just resonated with people and it was appropriate to remember it on Remembrance Day. And straight away, all throughout the war, there had been commemorations for Violet Day or Poppy Day or South Australia Day or Anzac Day. And so they'd already been having special days of commemoration, and it solidified into Anzac Day and Remembrance Day.
So in 1919 then, a year after the armistice, what happened to commemorate it?
Oh, all sorts of things. And it's from people gathering in their local church in Dubbo to large-scale celebration or commemorations, I should say, in London and in Sydney and Adelaide and all around the place. So there's lots of different things. It can involve marches or ceremonies or church services. It takes a little while for people to put it into the sort of well-worn paths of commemorative activities we have now. They all appear in different places at different times, but there's something going on pretty much everywhere.
And what has the day come to symbolise now? Because it's about so much more than World War One these days.
Well, it is. And, you know, in ways that Anzac Day is not, because Anzac Day for Australians is so redolent of Gallipoli and we think of the beaches and the landing and the pre-dawn, whereas this has come to mean remembrance and sorrow. And we can apply that to anything. It's a time to stop and think about any of our servicemen or family members that have been killed in a time of war. And even today, thinking about people who haven't coped with their experience of war and are struggling really masterfully to deal with difficult situations that they've seen. It's a time to stop and think about all of that.
It's been a century now. How will the day be commemorated at the War Memorial this weekend?
We have the national ceremony, which is centred around 11 a.m, which is very traditional. We have a wreath-laying aspect of the ceremony and a minute silence together with the last post. We're expecting a lot of people. The War Memorial has been a centre of part of these activities over the course of the centenary. And one of the beautiful things we've got going at the moment is on our lawns, not far from the front of the building, we've had people volunteer to knit bright red poppies, and there's one poppy for every life lost by an Australian during the First World War. And it's just this carpet of remembrance. It's really beautiful.
Historian Dr. Malia Hampton from the Australian War Memorial.